We're certainly glad you're here today. For those that are visiting with us, we're certainly glad that you're here and invite you back at every opportunity that you might have. This being the first of May, school is almost over. I think kids are going to start going through some of their testing right now, so certainly we pray for them concerning their last month in school as they get ready for spring or summer vacation, and certainly a lot of people, they look forward to that. Also, we need to remember to do our first lesson in the book on Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, lesson number one, this Wednesday night. So be prepared to do that. In Psalm in chapter 118, verses 19 through 24, Psalm 118, verses 19 through 24. He says, open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me, and have become my salvation. Verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And then a familiar verse to you, verse 24. He says in verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I have heard this many times. I heard this a lot back in the 70s, to tell you the truth, you would hear the fact, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In fact, there was a song back then that came out, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And when you hear that many times people are a little bit taking it out of context when they talk about that. Usually when they talk about, well, this is the day that the Lord has made, they talk about, well, this is a beautiful day. This is a beautiful Tuesday or a beautiful Thursday or whatever it is. We'll rejoice and we'll be glad in it. But this wasn't the idea prophetically that was carried out in the beginning when he talks about this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. He's talking about that of the Lord's Day, Sunday. And as we look at this morning, we want to look at people around the world. They involve themselves in worship services. You have pictures of Christians in Ethiopia, Nigeria, the Philippines. Believers who join together on a Sunday, they join to partake of the Lord's Supper, to hear the Word of God preached, to pray, to sing, and to give of their means. And yes, they'll meet on other days too. Many times like we do on different nights or in different houses, we might go from a house to a house on Friday night studies. And these people here are doing this as well. But on Sunday, they especially meet and participate in an out of the ordinary collective worship, to where as we gathered together a few moments ago and partook of the Lord's Supper. The difference between the folks up here and us in America today, for the folks up here, it's an all-day event. For the people in America, we carve out an hour or two of our time each Sunday to meet together. So that is some difference concerning us and maybe people from around the world sometimes and our our worship services, or maybe even our attitude toward worship services. We see over in Psalm 118, verse 22 through 24, it says, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Well, that brings some light up to us concerning that. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In fact, he says over in Matthew and in chapter 21 and in verse 42, it says, Jesus said unto them, "Have you never read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." In fact, we could go over, I don't have this on the chart, but just thinking about it, we could go over to Mark and in chapter 12, and in Mark chapter 12. In chapter 11, Jesus' authority is questioned. Chapter 11, verse 27 begins. Chapter 11 of Mark, verse 27, it says, "And they came to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and scribes and elders came to him and began saying to him, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you the authority to do these things?'" Talking about running the people out of the temple when he drove the people out of the temple, when he drove the money changers out of the temple, they wanted to know by what authority you're doing these things. Jesus, in verse 29, it says, "Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one question, and you answer me, and then I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, then why do you not believe him? And if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, because everyone considered John to be a real prophet." Answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things." But actually he does. Because it goes on in chapter 12 and in verse 1 beginning to tell them the parable of the vine growers. It says in chapter 12, verse 1, "And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a wall about it, dug a vat under the wine press, and built a tower and rented it out to the vine growers and went on a journey. At the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers in order to receive some of the produce of the vineyard from the vine growers. They took him, they beat him, they sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another slave, and they wounded him in the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and that one they killed, and so many others, beating some, killing others." And then in verse 6 it says, "And he had one more to send, a beloved son. He sent him last of all to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.'" Verse 7, "But those vine growers said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours.' And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. And what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come, he will destroy the vine growers, and he will give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read this scripture?" Jesus is telling these people that were so skilled in the law, those people that were so learned in the law, he asked them, have you not even read this scripture? "The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. And this is about from the Lord, and it is marvelous." It is marvelous in our eyes. In Acts chapter 4 and in verses 10 and 11 it says, "Let it be known to you and to all the people that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Again, over and over again, he reinforces this concerning the fact of this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And when he talks about this, he's talking about Sunday. This stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In Luke chapter 24, and in verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, early in the morning, they certain women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in and did not find the body of Jesus." Again on the first day of the week. In fact, when he is on the road to Emmaus, this same day, later on this day, on the first day of the week, it says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. The chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, crucified him, but we were hoping this was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day." The Lord's day, the first day of the week since all of this has happened. When we go through this, we see that Sunday is the day Jesus fulfilled his promise to defeat death. In Matthew and in chapter 16 and in verse 21, Matthew 16, and in verse 21, it says, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, scribes, and be killed, and be raised on the third day." That being Sunday, the Lord's day. It says Jesus was confirmed to be the Son of God in Romans and in chapter 1. And in verse 4, Romans chapter 1, and in verse 4 it says, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. When did the resurrection from the dead occur? It occurred on the Lord's day, on Sunday. Jesus was enthroned as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, in Acts in chapter 2 and in verses 30 and 31. Acts 2 and in verses 30 and 31. It says in verse 30, "And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ." Again, on Sunday, on the Lord's day. "The resurrection of Christ, that he neither abandoned to Hades nor did his flesh suffer decay." The Holy Spirit came upon the apostles on the first day of the week. In chapter 2 and in verse 1 beginning, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost had come," 50 days after the Passover, that being a Sunday, "when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise with a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they appeared to him as tongues as a fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance." We see that the church was established on the Lord's day, on Sunday, in Acts and in chapter 2 and in verses 37 through verse 47, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who were baptized received his word and were baptized. About that day, they were added about 3,000 souls. And they continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together. And all things were common. And they began selling their property and possessions and sharing them with them all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house and taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those that were being saved. But the church was established. It came into existence on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. John received his revelation, as we talked about this morning in the class, in Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 10, Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, that being Sunday. And the early church met together to worship in Acts 20 and in verse 7. Acts 20 and in verse 7. Says verse 7, on the first day of the week, they were gathered together to break bread. And Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day. He prolonged his message until midnight. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verse 1 and 2, it says, now the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also on the first day of every week. That's Sunday. That's the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. Each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. So we ask, what's happened to the Lord's Day? When I was a young man growing up, and maybe you experienced this more so than me, but we had something called blue laws. And with these blue laws, there wasn't much of anything open on Sunday for a good while. You couldn't find hardly anything open because of the fact that they knew that people were going to be in church. They're going to be collectively together on Sunday morning. Whether they called it the Lord's Day or not, there was a lot of people at that time going to church. I would see men who just seemed like just very hardened men during the week. But on Sunday, they'd be coming out and they'd be warming up that car, and they'd be stuffed in that suit there, and they'd be ready to go to church. In my neighborhood, and maybe in your neighborhood, I don't see that anymore. I don't see that much anymore. I see everyone, everything is open now. You can do everything on Sunday now. No doubt there's been a great decline in religion in America over the past 60 years. I was looking at the last averages concerning this, that 20% of the people in America attend church once a week. That means 80% do not. And if 80% do not, do you think there is a harvest out there for us to reach people with the gospel If there's that many people and continually be that many people that do not attend anywhere on a Sunday morning, $4,000 to $7,000 churches, these are denominations, of course, but churches of Christ could be added into this, close their doors permanently each year. Do you think there's an opportunity? You think there's an opportunity to reach people? What's happened to the Lord's Day? Well, for some, it's just another work day now. They really don't pay any attention to it. When they go in for a job interview and they say, are you willing to work any day of the week? Usually somebody says, yeah, I am willing to work any day. There was a time where people might stand up and say, I am willing to work any day except Sunday because I am a Christian. But now for whatever reason, people are willing to work any day. For a lot of people, it's a day of sports now. The day of sports, you have your cable channels now. You have your sports on at all times. You can get home fairly quickly if you do go to church services. But if not, you can sit with your easy chair and you can watch sports 24/7 the entire weekend, including the Lord's Day. So a lot of people are engaged in this now. In fact, even youth activities that used not to be this way are now being done many times on Sunday. I can remember years ago, my son was playing in Little League, the first year or two in Little League, and they had their parade, and they had their parade on Sunday. And I asked him, I said, can you have your parade on Saturday? I said, I'm preacher, I said, I am a Christian, and I said, we go to church on Sunday. I said, is there any way you can move that parade to Saturday? He said, well, we never thought about it. And they just went ahead and moved it to Saturday. It wasn't any problem at all. But sports takes up a lot of people's times now, including on the Lord's Day. Maybe the Lord's Day has become a recreation day for a lot of people. To where at one time they wouldn't think anything about that at all. But now it's become a day to get away from everything. In fact, if we do get away, we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. We'll go down 65 or 71 or wherever we're going to go, and we'll hit that rest area, and we bought us a little Lord's Supper package, and we'll take out the bread and the fruit of the vine there real quick within maybe 15, 20 seconds, and we'll take the bread and the fruit of the vine, and then we'll be back on our way towards our recreation. That's the Lord's Day now for some people. And what they do. Maybe for some people it's a Super Sunday sale. Have those flyers all the time sent to you. We have Kohl's sent to us every day of the week, sending us some sale or whatever. And you can get involved with that, the Super Sunday sale. Think about all the things you're going to do on Sunday. In fact, you might even take so much time that you spend more time in the sales catalog than you do studying your Sunday morning lesson. That would tell you something about the Lord's Day. Or for some people, it's just a day just to sleep in. You know, I've been working hard all week, Rob, and this business about today, I don't know whether I'm going to make it today or not. I don't know whether I'm going to be there at church today or not. I don't know about you, in my family, that never came up. There was any decision to make about whether we're going to go to the services today or not. And I'm sure it's the same in a lot of your families as well, about the fact, well, I don't know whether I feel good enough to come today or not. We were there. So the Lord's Day, maybe a day of yard work. I just need to get some handle on my yard work. Just not able to do it any other day. So on the Lord's Day, this is what I'm going to do. So what's happened to the Lord's Day? For some, maybe it can be a non-intrusive experience. Don't talk to me about these things, Rob. Give me a light sermon. Give me a sermon to where we can laugh and I can feel good about myself when I leave here. I don't want anything intrusive in my life, especially something spiritually during this time. Is that what the Lord's Day has become to you? Something non-intrusive? You don't have to think about your life at all? Maybe to downgrade from stoic to a more casual feel. I saw this about 30 years ago when I preached down in a recreational area. And a lot of times people, they would visit. Oh, they wouldn't visit during Bible class, but they would visit during the worship service. And a lot of times you would see the ladies' bathing suit top up here, tied at the top, and they had on their bathing suits underneath. Oh, they wanted to come and partake of the Lord's Supper, but you know, we're going somewhere else after this. In fact, that's what we're going to dress for now. If I'm going to the track after this, and that could be another sermon, but if I'm going to the track after this, I tell you what, I am going to dress for like I'm going to the track. If I'm going to dress like I'm going to the lake, then maybe I'm going to dress in that way. But now I want a more casual feel. And where does that lead over time? A lot of people now move the PM service to the AM service. It gained popularity out in the West Coast years ago. Because there were a lot of people that were traveling, I don't know, maybe 90 miles to 120 miles to go to a worship service. And I could understand that. I could understand doing that. But other people now say, well, I tell you what we're going to do is we're going to change our worship services, that we're going to lump them all together, and then therefore you are going to have time to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ afterwards, and in the evening you all can experience Bible studies together and everything else spiritually. And I asked some churches, especially some elders of churches, how that went. And they said it would go fine for a little while, then it died out. to where they stopped. They stopped being together on Sunday night because they didn't have any reason. They didn't have any reason to be together on Sunday night anymore. It turned into really just time off. In fact, some of these places now have even pulled back their services times to where they're not even spending as much time as they were before. Is that the Lord's day? That we can get the Lord out of the way? Is that what we want to do? Get the Lord out of the way. We have things to do. We have plans that we need to be involved in. We need to get the Lord out of the way. Or maybe not during my lifetime. Certainly during our grandchildren's lifetime, we'll see the elimination of the PM worship service altogether in most places. It's going to come. It's been around for about 150 years or so in America, and over the last 100 years, Wednesday night services in America, but they haven't been around for 2,000 years, no. But there's going to come a time to where many churches will move that out of the way again. That's sort of in our way as well. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Or, is this the day the Lord has made? Let's move it and get it out of the way so we can do other things. You might be in the audience today, not a Christian, understanding the condition that you're in, needing a Savior to be baptized into Christ. Or for those that need to come back to the first love, I invite you to come now while together we stand and we sing.